Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you may happen to be on God's glorious earth. Welcome to the Balance Point Christian Community's Sunday message. Let us pray. Father God, we come into your presence today with praise and thanksgiving. We ask in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, that you would manifest yourself here today. We ask, Father God, for great wisdom,
wherever you may happen to be,
for great peace and great joy.
Welcome to the Balance Point Christian Communities.
And Father God, we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus, for your grace. We ask, Father God, for your mercy. We ask, Father God, that you would be manifest in us. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen and amen. Good morning. Turn with me in your Bibles, or scroll with me, as the technology may be. Where are we scrolling to? I know where we're scrolling to. We are scrolling to Genesis chapter 13. And today we're going to be looking at the subject of conflict resolution. Let me ask you a question before we even get started. How many of you have ever been in a conflict situation? And how many of you have wondered how to best deal when you're in those conflict situations? I think we can all say that we have been in situations where we have been involved, or we've been brought into a place of conflict with another person. And how we handle conflict is one of those markers that marks whether we're going to have heaven on earth or have hell on earth. You see, how we deal with conflict also measures the level of our faith. Are we trusting in God for those things that we need, those things that God has promised us? Or are we behaving like the world that does not follow Jesus and seeking and striving to grab all that we can grab through our own powers? Today we're going to look at how one of the Old Testament patriarchs, Abram, dealt with the situation of conflict. And so we are going to dig in right here at Genesis chapter 13, and we're putting in at verse 5, and we're going to go down through verse 9. Picking up at verse 5. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. And if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. Father God, we thank you for this reading of your word. And we ask, Father God, in the name of your Son, Jesus, that you would bless this time in our word as we study how to function on a more Christ-like level. Be thou glorified and honored in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. First, we want to look at a little bit of a background about conflict. And one of the first things that we want to notice is that conflict often happens during the time of blessing. Now, from our previous study, we saw that there was a famine in the land, and Abram had gone down into Egypt. You know, he had messed around, and he had caused some suffering to the Egyptians. And the Egyptians, you know, figured it out and dealt with the situation. And at the end of the last section, up at verse 3 and 4 of this chapter, we see where it states that Abraham was blessed with much possessions and people and livestock. And then we jump right into this section where we see the conflict that arises because of the blessing. Conflict arises often because we are blessed. Often because our blessing becomes so great that our blessing overflows. And because our blessing overflows, and often the blessing of those around us, because God doesn't just bless an individual in isolation, but he often blesses an individual in the situation, in the environment that they find themselves in. And so when that blessing overflows, depending on your view, and depending on the view of those who are around you, conflict can arise. Watch this. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great. Often our blessings will overflow to the point that it can't be contained. And so conflict will arise there. Which brings us to the second point, in that even though we may be blessed, often conflict will arise due to perceived lack. Now, the perceived lack here was that the land couldn't support them. But perceived lack could be any other area of your life. Perceived lack, maybe you perceive that you are lacking in love. And so conflict will arise over that. And we will act out because we feel that our needs are not being met. Maybe the perceived lack is a perceived lack of resource. And in fact, it's funny because here in the United States, and it's not funny, it's actually sad, but one of the major causes for divorce is conflict over resource, over the resource of money and how that money is spent. And so that becomes a perceived lack that brings about conflict that becomes unresolved. The New Testament, the brother of Jesus, James, write this: you have not because you ask not, or you ask awry that you might spend it on yourself. Does not all conflict come from envy? Envy. You see, if our neighbor has something that we don't, we have two responses. We can celebrate with joy with them, or we can envy them. What's envy? Envy is saying, not only do I want what you have, but I don't want you to have what you have. That's envy. And because of envy, we will often come into conflict with each other. Third thing that often happens in conflict is often we're not even the ones that are in direct conflict, but we get drawn into that situation. In other words, we're often brought into conflicts that could have been resolved without us. And we see that here. And now there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's flock and the herdsmen of Lot's flock. The conflict was not between Abram and Lot. Now, because Abram and Lot were the leaders of their family groups, they had to deal with it. But the conflict was between the hired help. Abram and Lot were actually cool. It was the hired help. Quite often, we will get drawn into situations where we are called on to resolve conflict. Quite often, maybe you have coworkers that are going at it, and because it disrupts the department, it disrupts the area where you work, nobody is stepping in. Sometimes you have to step in and make things work. Or maybe it's a neighborhood situation where there is disputing amongst neighbors. And, you're the calm head. You're the calm person. And so you need to be aware of how to resolve conflict. You need to be aware of the methods for helping to solve what seemed to be an impassable situation. I mean, what could get more impassable than the fact that y'all got so much stuff that the land can't support you? Third thing that we know about conflicts is often our conflicts will impact those that are not directly involved. In other words, there are people around us watching our conflict and watching how we choose to deal with it. Our passage says, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites were in the land. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were there watching how Abram and Lot were going to deal with this situation. How we deal with conflict, how we choose to handle ourselves when things are bumping heads, is an indicator to the outside world of where we truly stand in our faith. Do we handle our conflicts the way Jesus handled conflict? Do we handle conflicts in a way that brings restoration and reconciliation? What's reconciliation? Reconciliation is bringing back together those things that have been torn apart, which is different than restoration. You see, reconciliation is the meeting. Restoration is the mending. Do we handle conflict in a way where there are where everyone wins. In other words, how we handle conflict is a reflection of our witness as believers in Christ or as Christ followers. There are three areas in our lives that conflict will test. The first area where conflict will test is in our business dealings. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram and the herdsmen of Lot. This was primarily a business issue. See, back in the days that we're reading about, a person's wealth, a person's net worth was tied up in either stock of trade, if they were a trader of some sort, or since this was an agrarian society, a farm-based society, then wealth would be determined by the number of livestock, the amount of land, possibly the amount of grain in the barns and wine in the vats. And so often we will run into conflict in our business dealings. Maybe the conflict in our business dealings has to do with the ethics of the business. Am I going to lie, cheat, and steal my way to the top? Or am I going to let my skills, am I going to let my honesty dictate how I do business? The second place where we will find conflict, and the second place where we are tested in how we deal with conflict, is in our family. Lot also went with Abram. Who was Lot? Lot was Abram's nephew. Abram was Lot's uncle. Often our conflicts will happen within the family structure. How do we deal with those family conflicts? Because see, how you deal with your family in large part is going to be a notice of how you deal with the outside world. How do we as a family, as a church family, deal with each other? How do we as a husband and wife deal with each other? How we deal with each other is going to form the example for how our children will deal with their spouses, with their significant others when the time comes. The third area that conflicts will test is our faith. Do we trust God for what He said about us? You see, right before this conflict, God has spoken to Abram and said, I will give this land to you and to your offspring, to your generations. You see, Abram could have reacted from a point of unfaith, disbelief. He could have. Or he could react from a position of faith. You see, if we don't believe that God will supply, then we're going to try to grab onto and hold onto as tightly as possible anything and everything that we can get. But if we believe that God is a God of faith, that God is a faithful God, that God shall supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus, then when we handle conflict, we'll handle it very differently. So having looked at the places of conflict, having looked at the tests of conflict, How can we deal with conflict? Well, there are two approaches of conflict, two basic approaches. And I'm only going to talk about the ends of this line. At one extreme is what's called the zero-sum game. What that means is the pie is limited. The resource is limited. And if I win, you have to lose. And if you win, I have to lose. It's the game of the world. It's a game of winners and losers. And to the proportion that I win, that is the proportion to which you are going to lose, because the pie is only so big. It is that mode of thinking that actually brings on conflicts. Remember, James said, you have not because you ask not, and you ask not because you ask awry. Is it not the case that much of your striving and envy, much of your conflict comes from your striving and envy, because you want what you don't have? At the other extreme is God's promises. What does that say? God's promises says that God is big enough that everybody can have. God's promises bring us to the point where in our attitude and our thought and our words and how we deal with conflict, we can take the position that I can afford to give it up because God's already given me. We see that in our passage. Remember, I mentioned that Abram had already received the promise of God that this land I shall give to you and to your descendants. And because Abram was able to stand on that promise, Abram was able to say to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Well, remember this, God didn't promise the land to Lot. God promised the land to Abram. But because Abram knew that that whole land was before them, Abram could say, is not the whole land before you? Hey, you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. You see, Abram's position was that God's promise was big enough to support both of them. I want you to understand that. God's promise is big enough that there need not be strife. You need love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Dude, you don't get much more loving than giving your own child as a sacrifice. Jesus so loved us that he chose to die on the cross on our behalf, taking the punishment that was ours. You need love? Boom. You don't get much more love than the creator of the universe coming down and taking your place. You need hope? God has given us this great hope in the glorious appearing of his son, Jesus Christ. What's the hope? That we should not perish, but that we should have eternal life. You need material stuff? The same God that created the world owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Jesus put it this way. Do not worry about what you're going to eat or drink, for God shall supply it. Consider the lilies of the field. They do not spin. They do not sow. And yet, they are arrayed finer than any earthly king. Or as I read from Philippians, and my God shall supply all of your needs Doesn't say he's going to supply our wants, but it says he's going to supply our needs. What do we need? We need life, we need love, we need food, we need shelter. Depending on where you live, the shelter is optional. If you live someplace really nice, dude, you can just hang out. But here's the deal. God will supply our need. So if we don't have a need, then anything else beyond that is a want. Here's something interesting to consider. This planet right now produces enough food to feed every man, woman, and child on the planet. We already produce enough. Why is there starvation and famine then? Because of greed and because of waste. Greed and waste. Greed breeds corruption. Corruption breeds the ability to hold up the supply of what people need. And waste. Have you ever looked at the garbage can behind a restaurant here in America? Need I say more? But here's the thing. If I know that everything that God, that everything that I need, God's provided, then why do I fall into conflict? But it goes beyond need. Because if God has spoken to you and God has promised something to you, do you not know that God will supply the promise? And if God has called you to do a task, do you not know that God will supply everything that you need to complete that task? So then what should be our attitude? Ecclesiastes 5:19. Furthermore, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, he has also empowered him to eat of them and to receive his reward and to rejoice in his labor. This is a gift of God. God gives us the ability to produce. Furthermore, God, if it's from God, gives us the ability to enjoy it and to rejoice in our having. You see, let me repeat once again, God promises to supply our needs. God further may make promises beyond that. Promises to prosper us. Because of this, we do not need to worry for lack. And if we don't need to worry for lack, we don't need to be in conflict. And if we know that God has promised us something, and someone comes along and wants to take it, who cares? Because the same God that with a breath and a word created this universe can easily replace that little thing that somebody else wants. There's a reason why Jesus was able to tell his disciples, if someone comes and sues you and asks you for your shirt, give them your cloak as well. Why? Because God knows that you need those things and God will supply them. Does this mean that we are to be unwise doormats? By no means. But it does mean that we are to be wise stewards. It does mean that, you know, we don't need to be stressing and striving for stuff. You see, Abram could afford to be gracious because Abram had the promise of God. We can afford to be gracious because we have the promises of God. Here's something to consider. If God blesses us in this life, cool. But as Christ followers, who cares? Because the riches in the next life far outweigh the stuff of this life, which is going to go away anyway. You know, it's funny, 2,000 years ago, Peter wrote that the very elements, the very world would burn up with a fervent heat. John the Revelator was told that God was going to make a new heavens and a new earth, for the former one passed away. The stuff of this life is going to burn up. Here's what's funny. 20th century, what do we find out about our sun? Well, assuming we wait around long enough, our sun is going to toast this planet. It's going to burn up. Just like Peter said. What's funny is, it's going to burn up in a fervent heat, the very elements melting. Geez, that sounds kind of like what happens when you get enveloped in a giant nuclear reactor, which is what our sun is. Just saying. So why are we stressing over stuff? Why are we striving? There's no reason. There's no reason. And we don't have to. We don't have to stress. We don't have to strive. We just have to walk in the Word of God, worshiping Him for everything that He's done, and work out our conflicts with grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we resolve conflict? Understand that God made it all. And if God made it all, He can make it again. Ain't a big thing. Secondly, realize that if God's promised it to us, it's promised to us. God's going to supply it. And thirdly, even if we don't see it in this plane of existence, when we step into the heavenly realm, we will see it then. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for this time in Your Word. And we give You honor, and we give You praise, and we give You glory. In the mighty, powerful name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. And on that note, I want to tell you, there are some of you that are listening that are in a conflict that is nothing like any kind of conflict you could be in with any kind of man. Because right now you're in conflict with nothing less than God Himself. You see, we're all born into a state that is called sin. And so we all fall short, and we all miss the mark with God. And because of that, we cannot have relationship with God. In fact, because of that, the Bible says that we are at war with God, and God is at war with us. But God doesn't want to be at war with us. And because of that, He sent His only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish. He sent His Son to take the punishment that I deserve, that you deserve. And you know what's funny? The Son agreed. And while the Son may not have looked forward to the agony of the cross, while the Son did not look forward to the despising that His own creation would heap upon Him, the Son did look forward to this day when you and I would come to trust Him and would move from the place of being at war to being at peace. So how do we accomplish that? It's actually fairly simple. The word says if we would believe in our hearts, the word says if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our hearts that the Father raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. What does that mean? It means belief means trust. Do we trust God? Do we trust that he loves us enough that he wants us to live with him forever? And what's confession? Confession is just saying the same thing about ourselves that God said. What's he said? First thing that God said about you and about me is that he loves us. I want you to think about that. Even though there's nothing lovable in you and in me, God loves us anyway. What's the second thing that he said? He said we sin, we fall short. Some of us go beyond sin and we get off into iniquity. We want to sin. And yet God still loves us. How much did he love us? He loves us so much that even though we sin, even though we can't be with him, he sent his only son, and his son died in our place. And the last thing is, there ain't a bloody thing that you can do or I can do to earn this. Not one bloody thing. It's a gift. And so if you have never trusted Jesus, or maybe at one point you walked with him, but then you walked away, today you can come to Jesus. You can trust Jesus. And all you have to do is confess. If you're trusting him in your heart right now, the only other thing is to just say what you're doing. And so pray with me. Father God, thank you for loving me. I know that I sin. I mess up. I fall short. There are even days when I go beyond that and I want to sin. But Father, I choose to turn away from that because your son was sent to save me, to replace me in the place of punishment. And I accept that gift that he's given me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying in my place and for forgiving me of my sins. Send the Holy Spirit that I might live a life that is pleasing to you. In your holy name, amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer, we would love to hear from you. And contacting us is actually very simple. I actually have the wrong slides up, but oh well. You can contact us by shooting us an email at staff@bounce-point.org. Let us know that you prayed this prayer. You can contact us on YouTube and Google Plus at Bounds Point Church. You can even message us through the Ministry Center, which is at www.boundspoint.org, or you can send us regular old snail mail at Bounds Point Church at 1998 East Orris Street, Willowbrook, that's like Willow and a Brook, Willowbrook, California, 90222. We would love to hear from you. We'd love to hear what God's doing in your life. Hey, if you don't have a church home, you really should have a church home. Because the word tells us that we should not forsake the gathering together with each other. Now, if you feel more comfortable in a local church setting, we know pastors around the world who pastor great and awesome churches, and we'd love to plug you into one of those. But if for some reason you cannot or will not be involved with the local church, we'd like to invite you to become part of the Balance Point family. We are kind of a non-traditional church here in that we meet online every Sunday. And you can do that by going to our ministry center at www.bounds-point.org. We also have live worship online, and that happens in our sanctuary at balance-point.churchonline.org. And you can just head over to our sanctuary each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Pacific time on Sundays, where we do these lessons live, and we do have live worship. That's balance-point.churchonline.org. And now prepare to receive the blessing. May our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune Godhead, bless you and keep you until the coming of his Son again in glory. Amen.